to the Center for Disease Control, heart disease is still the leading cause of death for Americans. Now, heart disease is a big word that covers a wide variety of conditions, some that are congenital, some that come as a result of infections, or cardiovascular disease, or arrhythmia, and other types of heart conditions. However, as we know, many forms of heart disease are caused by poor lifestyle choices, and therefore they can be prevented or treated with healthy lifestyle choices, such as healthy diet, exercise, not smoking, not having too much caffeine or too much alcohol, reducing and managing stress, and not abusing drugs and medications. But even so, oftentimes it takes a dramatic wake-up call, such as a heart attack or a stroke or some other scary situation, before people will make those lifestyle choices, even though their doctor tells them year after year, this is what you need to do. In our psalm today, we encounter spiritual heart disease. In verse 70, we see it as a description of the proud, those who have slandered the psalmist. It literally reads, their heart is gross with fat. So, and here this translation said callous and unfeeling, but it literally says gross with fat. Their heart is gross with fat. And we know physically that those who have fatty hearts are more prone to arteriosclerosis and coronary artery disease, those two particular types of heart disease. And the author is not talking about that. We know from the translation we read, he's talking about having a spiritually fat heart. Symptoms of spiritual heart disease include a lack of appreciation for God's word, insensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, wickedness, self-satisfaction, pride, lying, and spiritual heart disease is a chronic and deadly condition. Most people need a wake-up call before they ever even realize that they have it. Some people try to manage it by lifestyle choices. Some churches even teach sin management through behavior modification. God forgive me if I ever do such a thing. Some people try to hide their condition by trading more obvious sins for seemingly less offensive ones. And spiritual heart disease affects 100% of the population. We see that the psalm writer was also afflicted with spiritual heart disease. Like many people, he needed a wake-up call before he could deal with it. We don't know exactly what that was, but twice the writer mentions that he was afflicted. And he says, it was a good thing that I was afflicted. And he talks about, before I was afflicted, I went my own ways and I strayed. That was what my life was like before. So as he considers it, he affirms that this wake-up call, this bad thing, this whatever affliction it was that happened to him, was a good thing, and he attributes it to the hand of God. And so he begins, even at the beginning of the section, by praising the Lord for dealing well with him according to God's word. Apparently, this affliction was God-given, clear consequences for straying from God's ways. Just like we are warned of the potential health consequences for our poor lifestyle choices, God clearly warns us of the dangerous consequences of spiritual heart disease through the commandments and judgments found in the law. It was no secret to Adam and Eve what the consequences would be for their disobedience. God said, "If you do this, you will surely die." Nor is it any secret what the consequences of our sin are. Just as parents warn children of the consequences for disobedience, as I talked with them in the children's message, our loving Father tells us the outcome of our disobedience. God doesn't keep it a secret. And ultimately, that consequence is the same as Adam and Eve, death, eternal destruction. Because God loves us, the Lord allows us temporary consequences, which he also clearly states, to wake us up. So how does God use affliction? He uses it to give us knowledge and discernment, helps us to see the wrong way and the right way, to get us back on God's path, to help us know that the Lord himself is what is good. He alone is good. And often we think that our way is good, or the way of the world, or even the way of the devil, but only God is good. God uses affliction to get us to obey wholeheartedly, to drive us into his word, and to cause us to take delight in it and treasure it. We think of it as affliction, but it is a wake-up call from God to turn from sin and to turn to him. One thing that we can be certain of is that God will deal with us according to God's word. God isn't going to throw us something new at us that God never told us before, some surprise that, what, where is this coming from? It's all going to be something he's already said. He doesn't change the rules midstream, other than to be kind and gracious to us, dealing with us according to mercy and not according to what we deserve, relenting from giving us those consequences. But on the contrary, everything God says will come to pass. And that, too, is a good thing because it shows us that God is trustworthy. Yes, thankfully, there is a cure for spiritual heart disease. It is free, and it's available to anyone. The cure is Jesus Christ. He died so that we don't have to. We don't have to have eternal death and separation from God. His sacrifice paid for our sin. His blood covers us. And then he gives us a heart transplant so that we don't have that fatty spiritual heart anymore. He trades our sinful heart for a heart like his. And we don't need to deal with our sin by sin management. We need to get rid of it. And Jesus wants us to get rid of it, and he helps us to get rid of it. And God's word shows us how. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over the rich. is rich unto all who call upon him, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When we hear these words, we see that the law of God's mouth truly is better than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Now, this is not to say that once Jesus gives us a new heart, we don't have to be careful. Just like people with heart transplants, they have to do certain things to stay healthy. We are forever immune to terminal heart disease once Jesus gives us a heart transplant. But confession and repentance still need to be a way of life. Though we don't want to use behavior modification to manage our sin, like life will be different because we do have a new heart. The way of Jesus is not the way of the proud, but it is a life of humility and gratitude and surrender. Scripture reveals the Jesus way, and the Holy Spirit empowers us to live in it. Like the psalmist, we ask God to teach us because, as we see, that common sense is not always so common. God's ways come even less naturally to us. We have to learn them. We don't have to strive at behavior modification like Benjamin Franklin tried to do in Practicing Virtue and failed miserably. If you remember, or if you ever had to read that when you were in high school, he had 13 virtues and he named and he created a chart. And first he was going to work on several at the same time, and then he couldn't do that. So he said, okay, I'm going to focus on this one. And when I master it, I'm going to move on to something else. And he never could, because he knew enough about spiritual heart disease to see the symptoms, but he didn't know the cure. He didn't know the power of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't have that sacrifice of Jesus. We can't manage our sin. When we allow the heart of Christ to lead us, then the Holy Spirit will transform us from the inside out, in his way and in his time. So we trade sin management for transformation. And as that old nature dies within us, we walk in newness of life. So let's not cover up our sin or manage it, but renounce it. And when we say it and name it, then the Holy Spirit can deal with it, is exposed, and then we can get rid of it. So what about you? Did you need a wake-up call, like the psalmist, to realize that you had spiritual heart disease? What was it? How did your life change after that incident? Did you try to manage it, or did you receive that new heart? What affliction have you received from the Lord? And were you able... are you able to thank him for it? Are there things that you're still trying to manage by your lifestyle choices? Or have you sought Jesus to be your cure and surrender to the Holy Spirit to allow him to transform you from the inside out through confession and repentance, trusting that Jesus has set you free? What do you need to surrender to Jesus instead of managing? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are sinners who have spiritual heart disease. But thankfully, Jesus, you died for us to give us a new heart, a heart transplant, your very own. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who transforms us so that we can get rid of our sin and its consequences. Lord, we have wake-up calls from your hand. And sometimes we wonder why, but you have told us clearly the consequences for our disobedience. So may these be things that would draw us back to you, that we can say thank you, Lord, for doing that, to put us back on the right path. Lord, help us to be people of confession and repentance, not hiding or managing our sin, but wanting you to wash it away, knowing that it is already covered under your blood. Help us to live on your path, and help us to learn, teach us, as you did with the psalmist, teach us your word and your ways, that we may walk in them. We pray that we might be ever more and more transformed into the likeness of Jesus. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed as printed on the back of the bulletin.